And it's the Table Breakers, they've done it again.
Is this the biggest panel we've ever had on, Jason?
One day you have a guy throwing mid-70s, and next week you have a guy throwing 55-mile fastballs.
Welcome, people of the interwebs and further afield. My name is Danny Quinn. I'm an outfielder for the Glasgow Comets. I'm joined by my good guest host here. How you doing, Ewan? You okay?
I'm glad I've been promoted up from guest host to good guest host. Good. So what comes next? Average?
I've never excelled past good at anything in my life, but I can aspire. I can imagine there'll be stuff like average, very good, I've seen mentioned in some places. So something to aspire to, I guess.
Isn't it? Yeah. Reaching for average, people can make their own Yankees joke at the end of that one. I'm not going to do all the work.
You must be excited. Snell just signed for the Giants. What was it, 62 million?
It was, yeah. And how much did the Yankees offer him?
150 million.
Yeah. I think that says a lot about, oh, I want to go somewhere where I can win and be promising. And
somewhere that has a chance in the World Series. All you need to do is overcome the Dodgers. That'll be fine. Yamamoto will be out with a torn UCL in 2 weeks anyway. So you've got a chance there.
Let's face it, you know, the Dodgers are already 1-0. They're on their unstoppable march to losing in the National Divisional again. Things don't change. And the Padres, who are now 0-1, also in the West, they're probably thinking, all our good manager and players have moved to San Francisco. Oh.
Did you catch any of the game today? I didn't actually catch it. It was on like 10 o'clock in the morning. Did you see any of it?
I did see a little bit of it, and it had an important lesson for equipment keepers all over. Make sure you stitch your glove well, because there was a ground ball that just went straight through the glove, burst the seams right through there, outfield, quite frankly, as a scorer, it goes down his E, guy in the locker.
Right. I need to check the highlights. It's a bit of a weird setup, isn't it, to have... You know, you have all these spring training games, then you do an actual regular season game, and then you go back to spring training. Why have they done that this year? Is it just to tie in with that series?
I think it's partly the distance. Right. You know, this isn't just like a five-hour time difference. This is much, much more. You want to get over that side of the world in the same way that we have the London series tomorrow here in the UK. You'll have is there a Frankfurt season, or is that... No, that's American football. It's basically, it's the Mexico one. Yeah. You're just trying to, like... Places where baseball is growing, places where there's more interest. MLB is a business. It's got to leech money out of as many places as possible. So let's get it to South Korea. Let's get more people there. It's not like there aren't stars from that part of the world that are on the Dodgers that are being adopted by all of those countries. So why not? It's a nice opener. It means, you know, the Padres actually get to be seen live for once. So, you know, it's a win all round, unless you're the Padres.
I can't do Scotland next. I want to see the Les Mihaigo series kick in. I want to see the world absolutely go amazing over the Linlithgow World Series. I think that would be something we could aim
for. Which of Scotland's impressive baseball parks are you going to put the MLB into, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We once had that. We had the 4 or 5 spectators over at Total Cross once. I don't know if we can fit any more than that. But, yeah, maybe something to invest in, to be honest. So what can we do? The Hampden Stadium? Can we change Hampden to a diamond? That'd be pretty cool. Murrayfield's a better field. Murrayfield, maybe, I think.
I'm trying to think what's got more space where you can actually just sort of push it through. Can't think of anywhere in Edinburgh. Maybe our next guest can help. He's had lots of thinking time.
And I'm going to bring him in now. We've got Rory from Edinburgh, from the Cannons. Firstly, congratulations, Rory. You are now a Mr. Rory, no longer a Sir Rory. I'm sure that's how it works. You're recently married. How is it? How was the wedding?
It was good. I wondered where you're going with that. We got married October last year. We were on our honeymoon last week.
Right.
Put it off until it was a bit warmer and a bit more affordable. But it's fantastic. It's grand. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. I don't even know if she's watching. This is me actually being genuine.
Yeah, there you go. Your missus, she plays, does your wife play softball? Has she got a baseball interest? Am I right in saying that?
She doesn't play. She has an interest in the sport. Right. She actually was heavily involved in the Scotland women's setup during lockdown, especially. She did a lot of work to try and help build up the women's team for Scotland and helping out Casey up at Aberdeen.
Right.
She took a step back to focus on work, but she's still there supporting the women team that we're trying to get started in Edinburgh, and also anything that needs to be by being there. So she doesn't play. She gave it a go. It wasn't for her. She's big into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so she'd much rather choke folk out than strike folk out.
Right. So, right.
Two different nice. Types of choking in your sports references there.
I was going to ask, was there a baseball theme at the wedding? Was there tables named after the Edinburgh Cannons Championship years?
No. We eloped, actually. We were up on Skye on a hillside because we generally don't like our own families and people. So we went as remote and as far away as we could get and had what was perfect bliss of being just ourselves up on Skye in October. So
yeah,
no baseball theme, nothing ridiculous.
That is a beautiful intro to people person Rory Dunn on the podcast there. Thank you very much for that. Now that sounds lovely, mate. Like Skye's a lovely bit of the country, and it's cool to get that intimate setup and stuff. So, aye, congratulations. But this is no weddings in bagpipes. It's a good part of the market if we could capture that. But I want to talk to you a wee bit about your last sort of season. I know you've been on here a few times before, but maybe for people that are new to the league or haven't listened before, give me a wee rundown of, you know, your background in baseball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been involved in Scottish baseball, Edinburgh baseball for, it's 19 years now. I think 2005 was the first time I turned up in Edinburgh to a training session, playing for, back then it was just the Edinburgh Diamond Devils. We only had one team. Then when we split, played with the Edinburgh Cannons since their inception. Currently managing Edinburgh Cannons since previous host Jason Durr decided to finally retire from baseball. We went through some rocky periods, and then in the past couple of years, we've went through some much better periods, not to gloat. Obviously won the league the past 2 years, but maybe had a little couple of hiccups when it comes to finishing the deal, let's say, at the end of the year, the past 2 years on the trots.
Yeah. Nah, you still had a terrific season, though. Like, the thing is that you guys, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, I'll probably just say it anyway since we're not recording live, but you guys are obviously the oldest baseball club in Scotland. That's pretty cool. Now, the one thing that we had over you in Glasgow was that we had four teams and you only had three because we get two single A. So we could claim we're the biggest. We get four teams. We did better. Salt and vinegar all day. But you guys are going to field a new single A team this year, aren't you? So you're back up there, four teams in Edinburgh. That's pretty cool.
We absolutely are. I'd love to be able to give you the exclusive and say what they're going to be called, but it's TBD for now, and it might still be TBD next week. So
yeah,
we can't say that. But no, absolutely, two A teams and two AAA teams to match yourselves in Glasgow, just to make sure there's no bragging rights, is our only goal.
That's we love idle pettiness in this podcast. We're all about it, mate. That's good.
How difficult was it, Rory, to make the decision to create that fourth team and not call it Rory's Rangers?
You think I have way more sway than I actually do. Plus, it's an Edinburgh team. No way to get called the Rangers or Rangers or whichever version of that you want to go with. No. It's so the new team is going to follow the Devils in the same way that you have Comets A and AAA. This team's going to be one that follows the Devils. So we're trying to figure out a name that at least has some kind of tie-in with the Diamond Devils or something with Edinburgh where it's following itself on, but the same way folk actually want to say. It took a bit of wangling. We probably could have done it last year, but it's just knowing that we're going to have that commitment of people throughout the year, because the last thing you want to do is start a team and then you get to like those dog days in July when everyone's on holiday and you're having to cancel games against other folk, and it puts out the other folk in the league that suddenly you promised there'd be all these games and you just can't do it. So we wanted to make absolutely sure we were going to have the participation in the players and the setup before we pulled the trigger on it, so to speak.
So something biblical or satanic, something to tie in with the devils. This sounds like a good opportunity to invite people to jump in the chat box when this gets posted up and give us some suggestions here. What do you think it should be called? I'm going to invite people to do that. How's your pre-season going? You guys started pre-season yet? I take it, indoor training?
We had some indoor training over the winter at the end of last year. Right. We have started our pre-season training, but it's been a bit piecemeal this year. Normally we're well into it, training every Sunday down at Warston playing fields, but there's been a bit of a hold up. The council and such that own the field want to let the field kind of recover and come back, and so they were trying to delay us being on the field as long as possible, which means we're getting there. It's the season is suddenly very close, like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, and it's appeared out of nowhere, whereas normally we'd probably have been playing a couple of pre-season games amongst ourselves, or maybe going to play pre-season games against a couple of folk down south, friendlies by now. But we'll be there. We'll be ready for, I think we see yourself, Danny, third week of the season?
I think so, yeah. We always have quite good games, man. Like, I know you guys went on a huge run last year, but I think two of the games we played, it was like a one-run game. So it was really, really close. It's always a really enjoyable game. But I don't buy it. You guys say every year, like, oh, we've not started training, we're not ready, we're a bit vulnerable. Then you just come out with six pitchers that throw like 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. So I'm not buying it. I think you guys have a plan there. Like, yous will be ready, as you said. Rory.
We'll be there.
Yeah, nah, you as well, man. You as well. 2 weeks. 2 weeks on Sunday, the season kicks off. So for people that don't know, season kicking off 7th for April. A wee bit later, I think we kicked off at the end of March last year. But let's talk a wee bit about last season. So we'll focus on the regular season. You guys were all right, I guess. You've done okay in the regular season. What were you?
Danny, you're looking for above average.
Above average. Is that what comes after good? Above average. What were you? 14-0? Was it 14 games we played?
It's 16, I think, was the whole season last year. Yeah.
Right. To me a wee bit about that. I mean, that's an incredible run. That's never been done before, I don't think. And that must have been a huge achievement for morale in the club, and just to achieve that, what was that like, that journey?
I mean, you're right. From what we know, and obviously I've been in the Scottish National Baseball League since its inception, which is almost 10, 12 years ago now. And from my memory, I don't think anyone's done that. Obviously, there's Scottish baseball that goes back away before that. There might be some instance. But for us, like, I remember very distinctly last year when I was on this with John and Jason, and they asked me, what's the goal for this coming year? And I said, win every game, because if you're not trying to win every game, what's the point of coming along?
Yeah.
And I generally thought those words were going to haunt me every week.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we had two games against yourself that were 1-0s. Every game we played extra innings against Tayport. We walked that one off in 9 innings. The other two games against Tayport were, you know, close tight games. I think the two of the games against the Galaxy were close as well. The Devils almost took us as well by surprise in summer. It's that thing where if you build it up in your head as this big thing, we can do this, you're suddenly at a 180 heart rate the entire time going, oh, it's going to stop now. You know, we need to maintain this. And it was stressful. And because so many other teams were doing really well in the league as well, it's not like we had the league wrapped up and tons of time to spare, because Tayport was breathing down our neck. You guys were chasing us down as well. Like, I think it was only the second last game or something where it was finally done. And we could go, well, at least the league's wrapped up. But even then, we couldn't relax, because we were pushing for that kind of record. So it wasn't like, right, everyone could relax, rest, take it easy. It was still nail-biting. In August, because I work in theatre, I work for the International Festival in August, I generally have missed quite a few games. And sitting there trying to follow an ice score when you're not there and just watching that ticker. Like, I missed one of the 1-0 Comet games, and I was sat in the airport with the missus watching that on ice score, watching a 1-0 game on ice score. And it was your guys' ice score, whoever it was who was scoring the game, like, that's the one I was following because it was getting updated the most often because it's in Glasgow. That was the most stressful game I've ever not actually watched but followed along. Because literally, refresh. Oh my God, what's next? What's this? 1-0. Yeah, like...
How do you think you'd have dealt with the season then if you'd lost one of those early games and removed that immaculate pressure?
If we'd had an early loss where like the chance of being unbeaten was gone,
yeah,
then you know we wouldn't have treated any of the games differently. But like I said, when you're getting towards the end of the season when the league was done, mathematically it was done. I would have been more relaxed, you know, as manager, as coach. It's kind of that's sitting on my head that goal is to be attained. If I knew that wasn't possible, like, cool, fuck it. I can take myself out this game, have a beer, just relax and enjoy being at the field. And we can start to kind of look towards the postseason, the playoffs a bit more heavily than we did. So. I'm not saying we're going to go out and lose the first game this year just to make my life easier, you know.
So do you think that had an impact on the postseason then?
I don't think it had an impact on the postseason the way I'm saying it. Like, because obviously we still have plenty of time to rest. We have the players and such. We only play once per week. And if anything, you know, it kept folk ready because it wasn't like I don't think we had a big break between the postseason and the end of the season. But like I said, for me, it was just that mental toll that I put on myself that there was this, you know, I put that pressure on myself as the manager that if this doesn't happen, I'm the first point of where did it go wrong, who to blame, in my head at least, you know.
Yeah. You guys ran out this year. Now, your team wasn't hugely different from the guys you ran out last year. And in order to go that long without getting a loss, especially in this type of league where things are fluid, it depends on who turns up, it depends on how they're feeling, whether they've had a beer the night before or what, depends on a lot of things. You need a lot of things to go right. So with that in mind, like, what do you think clicked to allow you to go on that regular season sort of run? What really worked in your favour this whole season?
The biggest thing I always say to folk, like we said, we had this run, is every game, it wasn't like, well, one person turned up and that's why we won. Mm-hmm. It was a team effort. And there'd be days where it'd be, you know, a different person each time is the one you go, you know, maybe made a difference or this made a difference. But folks stepping up and willing to do either things that they weren't happy with, folk covering positions they haven't played before because we need someone at first base or we need somebody to catch as well as be a pitcher that day. The willingness as a team to do what's needed together was, I feel, the difference maker. You know, there was no ego. There was no folk going, I'm just going to try and hit home runs. All I want is the stats. All I want is to, you know, pad this, pad that. It very much felt like it was the team coming together and helping each other out and supporting each other. That, for me, was the biggest thing that I've noticed in the past couple of years with the Cannons compared to my maybe time beforehand in other teams, where it felt more like a group of individuals who come and have fun on a Sunday versus a team that are putting the work in the chat in the week beforehand, talking to each other, talking about game plans, helping each other out in training, spotting things with people's swings or defense, where it's like, hey, let's work on this next Wednesday, let's do this. That, to me, that's the nicest thing, to be able to have a whole team that I can rely on. Especially because I end up missing games between work and such these days as well, knowing that the whole team's in safe hands with everyone there.
I mean, it helps when you've got three pitchers that are absolutely nails. Like, you've got Peter and you've got Ren and you've got Freddie. You get through one and you need to try and get through the other. I love facing Freddie, right? But I think he's the most intimidating pitcher in the league. Freddie looks at you like he wants to throw a ball through your head. Like, he's the ultimate competitor, man. And I love him as a player because he steals bases, he hits, and he's a tremendous pitcher, man. Like, what's it like having that many pitchers? That must be a huge, you know, a huge relief to have that many people you can rely on to go in and throw a competitive game.
It is a blessing. Like, you know, I know that it's a blessing. We probably have the biggest pitching stock of any of the teams in Scotland. And we know that, and I know that. And I thank my stars every single week that I'm able to pick from pitchers rather than be like, well, the one pitcher's not here this week. What are we going to do? Yeah. Fede, I love Fede the bits. He is such a nice person, such a lovely guy. I've known him for a couple of years. But you're right, there is an intensity switch in the game because he is focused.
Yeah.
And you're right, like I faced him when he used to play with Aberdeen. I faced him, and that was an intense, you know, stare down at the plate, mound presence. And catching him so many times, it's great because we work, you know, we know each other, we got to work really well together. But the same way, we'll go off to the sidelines and I'll get that intensity, you know, if I'm calling something else or, you know, if we're not quite on the same page. I get that same kind of intensity sometimes from him as well. But it's a great thing because other folk, like, you know, we've got players coming up from the Knights or people that learn the game, they see that intensity and it kind of sets this role model of the intensity level of the game. Like, you know, it's serious. We're here to play. Yeah. We're not here to, you know, dick around to a degree. And folks see that and it sets a nice precedent for other folk who are maybe learning the game and trying to figure out how the game plays, especially in Scotland.
Yeah, nah, that's cool, man. Some really good guys. You've kind of alluded to it already. You guys went all the way up to the final. You were trailing Tayport. I watched the game from, I couldn't get to the game, but I was watching it virtually. You were trailing for a lot of it, and then you tied it up with a grand slam. Like, what a feeling that must have been, eh, man, to see that happen. And then obviously just in the final innings, you weren't able to bring it back. What is it you take away from a game like that? Obviously, you've worked so hard all season. You've won every single game. You are effectively an in and away from completing the perfect season. If you look at, if you accept the postseason.
It was actually one pitch, Danny.
One pitch.
One pitch away, yep.
The fragility of baseball, isn't it? What, if anything, I know that there's going to be a lot of emotion there, but what kind of things do you try and tell the guys to take away from that journey?
I'm not going to, because for those that don't know, the year before, we also lost to Tayport in the final. This is 2 years in the trot where Tayport have had our goal in that last game of the year. And I said to the guys, I said to the team after the final just gone there, I was like, I felt like this one hurt more than the previous one. Because we actually played really well.
Yeah.
Like, nothing against that previous year. I felt we played so well and we battled so hard. And that was such a game. Like, everyone who was there spectating came up and went, that might be one of the best games I've ever watched in Scottish baseball. But I'm not going to lie, it took me a little bit to pick myself up after that. That was a real heartbreaker for me. I thought when we tied it up with the Grand Slam, I was on third at the time. It was a full-on, you know, waving it in round the foul pole moment for me just to get the Red Sox in there. And I mean, even I was chatting to Jason West, manager of Tayport, after the game, and even he said to me, because we had, I think it was two runners on, one out in the bottom of the seventh, about, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Jason said to me, he was like, I thought that was it. You know, with your lineup, seventh inning, you had two guys on, one out. He was like, it's done. He was thinking it was done because that was going to happen. So, yeah, it was tough. The silver lining is it's galvanized the team to let's do it all again.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, I was saying to them when I said that I was coming on this and that I made that kind of boo-boo last year saying we're going to win every game, which I regret a lot now. I said the motto this year is going to be let's win the last game.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. There was a feeling, I saw it when you guys completed the sort of unbeaten regular season and you know, I think you secured it and Aberdeen was your last game. And so I checked out the social medias and that because I wanted to say, there should be a celebration of that. And yous were surprisingly quite quiet about it. I got the feeling that almost yous were like, the season's not done, you know, it's about that postseason as well. There was a quiet sort of stoicism about that commitment to the postseason as well. I mean, a great idol of yours, Rory, Derek Jeter, would say that he never got to appreciate his championship rings because he never took stock. He was always like, what's next? What's next? You know, going on to next year, I'll celebrate for 2 weeks and then what's next? Do you think
next, Mariah, Jessica? Who's next? Who's next?
But was there a point where you were able to sit and take stock and go, actually, regular season, 16 games, you know, 8 home, 8 away, that's a tremendous feat to do. That's almost borders on, you know, highly improbable, I would say, like, that can be repeated. But what's your stock for that? Were you able to reflect and take a bit of pride in that?
I mean, the weirdest bit was, like I said, our last game of the year was Aberdeen in Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. And that was the one to secure. And unfortunately, it's a bit hard to have a celebration that when you're that far away from home, most of you got to drive back home. And also, I think it was magically about 28 degrees in Aberdeen, and we were all absolutely KO'd after the game because it was so hot, and most of us are so Scottish. I mean, we celebrated heavily in the group chat and everything, and we definitely celebrated like the next training afterwards. But we had provisional plans of, like, there was folk talking about going up to Aberdeen on the Saturday night, going out, celebrating, and then playing the game. And then, of course, there's folk going, we've got to play the game still. Let's not get hosed up and be too hungover to make it to the game and then lose that perfect record because we've been idiots. So, no, like I said, it was celebration. It was grand. We're patting each other on the back, but there was definitely a focus on, cool, two more to go. That's the end goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good, I was going to ask you end in the canon section by asking you what's your motto this year, but you've kind of said win the last game. That's a plan.
Well, that's my motto that's bouncing around my head. Generally, I find we get our motto through the year. There'll be something somebody says that becomes like your rallying cry, whatever. We had a good one last year. Connor, our lovely centre fielder who's busy playing American college ball right now.
Yeah.
So hopefully get him back just for your game. But he would always be in the chat. And he's always cheering us on. And he would have a keep it tight.
Yeah.
You know, stay focused. That became a bit of a rallying cry for us. You know, you find it through the year. You say, well, you know, you had the idiots of all four in Boston, or the, I can't think of another one, but I just thought I'd get an 04 Boston reference in there. You find a team rallying cry in.
I'm not familiar with the 04 Red Sox, but I'm sure they were a good team.
I don't know them at all. Tell me about the 04 Red Sox.
I was actually talking...
No, tell me about them. I'd be interested to know.
I was actually talking to Connor recently, actually. I really like Connor. I'll touch upon him a wee bit. Like, he's went for this... I first played against him in 19 in Aberdeen, where he was pitching a wee bit and playing centre field. He has become a tremendous player, and his power behind not behind the plate, but off the plate has just kind of exploded out of nowhere. I think I was with him when he hit his first sort of exhibition home run in Tayport. He had it off a guy in Edinburgh. And obviously, the 2022, I think in 2023, he was hitting home runs. Like, what's it like to manage young talent like that? Like, Connor's an amazing talent and a really humble guy. What's it like to see his progression? That must be pretty humbling.
I mean, for me, he is such a talent and he is so dedicated to the sport and to the team stuff. It is such an honour to be able to manage and play with him. And like I said, I've been in touch with him a lot. I chat to him because he's out in the States at the moment working with some colleges. I met up with him back at Christmas. He was down in Denver for a couple of days. We went and met up and chatted away. And it is such a pleasure to be able to play and manage him. And I know that there's so many other folk in the team that absolutely adore the guy because he's a fantastic player and his knowledge of the sport and such is so much that folk, you can see folk are learning off him, asking him for tips, hitting, what's your kind of, you know, looking at what he does as his routines for preparation, that professional mindset and learning from that and adapting that and then breeding that kind of professional ball player mindset amongst players, not just from the AAA, but from the A leagues and for folk at training. And it is fantastic to see. He is such a benefit to not just the Canons, but to all of Scottish baseball, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've talked there, Rory, a lot about teams, about managing, but you're a catcher. You still play. How are you dealing with the upcoming season as a player?
By taking lots of ibuprofen and wishing that I didn't offer to catch 4 years ago and I could still go play second base and have two working knees and a working elbow. I'm 37 now. I've been playing for 19 years. It's definitely getting harder to get ready for the season. The body is feeling the grind from throwing BP two times a week for the past couple of years. It gets harder. It gets tougher. There is no secret magic pill, but the nicest thing is I don't try and do too much now. You know what I mean? There is, in amongst the team, I've chatted with a couple of guys where it's like, you know, I'm not going to catch every game this year, which is fine because there's other folk that are happy and willing to catch, and being able to have that flexibility where it can be, look, my knees are done. I need to have a DH day or even a bench day, but so-and-so, what, you know, X, Y, or Z is happy to go and step up and maybe play a position they've not played that regularly or step in. And that's the biggest thing. And like I said, I feel like I've beat the drum a lot, being able to rely on your team to help cover the deficiencies that might be in other places is for me the biggest benefit that we have.
Yeah, obviously we're touching upon the Cannons a lot just now. I just want to touch briefly on the Knights. Sort of, they was it their first competitive campaign last year, or have they been 2 years? I forget.
No, they've been, because they existed. This is where it gets confusing, because I think it was Cannons A, and then we made it the Knights.
Regardless of that, like, you said, a lot of new players through the door, I noticed in the past year. Some of them really, really good. Some of them adapting to the game really well. Is there MD that stood out for you coming through the Knights in the past year or so, either through practice, through performance, or just through their general attitude to the ball club?
I mean, coming up from the Knights, for folk that are coming, have started the Knights and are coming up AAA, I feel like I mentioned it every time, but Adam Smith, who played a lot of outfield for us last year, and he's one of those folks that has, you know, he is a baseball sponge. He just wants to know more about the game, and he's done a lot of talking to folk like Connor, talking to Ren, taking that, like I said, that professional attitude, and you can see it in him where all those things that these guys have told him about or have he's seen the way that they play, and he's taken that on in that professional attitude. So he's a fantastic talent coming up from the Knights. There's a couple other folk that are new Knights who you might not have seen. You might have seen them towards the end of last year, but they, again, they're just starting out, and they are, you know, folk come to me and they say to me, my goal is to be playing Cannons next year. I don't know, just be hanging out in the Knights. They want to progress and do further. Obviously, with our split of now in 2A teams, the chance for more playing time for people is obviously greater, and they can learn and go through. I'm sure there's 101 folk that I'm not naming, because literally I'd sit here for the next hour and just list you a reel of names from the team and everything, because I'm so proud of so many of them, and seeing them all at training and the effort and the work and what they put into it, it's phenomenal to see.
It's great that we have that avenue into the sport with A-League. I'm passionate about the A-League being that avenue in the sport, because AAA is at such a competitive level now that if you are young Scottish wanting to try this sport, it'd be very difficult to break into a AAA team. So the single A league, as it exists just now, is a great pathway for people to do that. And it's good to see that happening in Edinburgh as well, people coming along and getting that competitive game time.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of them. When I started, I had to sit on the bench for 7 innings, pinch run for 1, and then go and sit on the bench again.
Yeah,
you know, I wish I had that when I'd started out and I was most of their age. Instead of doing 6-hour trips to Liverpool for one stolen base and then 4 Red Bulls on the way home.
That was a long time ago, Rory. You are young enough to remember Bill Sheldrick as a young, hip, 70-year-old calling balls and strikes. Wee bit ago now, but the league's definitely evolved. But you're right, man. Like, the fact that someone can turn up in January and be playing in a game in March regularly is amazing for the sport here in baseball and growing it. What's your views on your individual performance over the year? I know individual performance doesn't always come down to start line. It can come down to attitude, influence, and how are you feeling health-wise going into the next season?
I know that my personal ability is on the decline. Just from the stats, the hitting is on the decline. I'd like to feel the defense is solid and the arm is solid, but it's still, it's not perfect. It's always a work in progress. Like I said, it's the weird thing where as you get older, you have to spend more time training to maintain. You know what I mean? Like, you used to be that you turn up for training, do a bit of this, and it was grand. And you now have to spend more time at training as you get older just to stop falling behind and dropping off what it is. And that's not the struggle, but that is the bit where I feel I'm putting in more work than ever. And I used to put in so much work as well.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, that's good. You won a gold glove a couple of years ago, didn't you? You picked up the gold glove the year before last. So,
I've got a catcher's gold glove and I've got a second base gold glove in my 10th year in the SNBL. So, 7 more positions to go.
There you go. You also pitched in 2019. I remember you pitching to me. You threw me a big ugly slurve and I got you for a triple. So, not to brag or anything.
Well, it's
all right. You're the only person I've given up a home run to. So,
I was going to say, did you want better?
Yeah. Let's
not I wasn't going to mention it, Danny. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you started it here. So.
I got the smart ass there. Right, Rory, I've got just as we're coming down in time here, so you'll be happy to know that we're on our last section. I'm really happy to know, I'm sure you'll be happy to know that I've got you a wedding present. Now, don't get overexcited here, because what I've got you is I've designed you from my own mind 3 specific baseball jokes that are baseball and wedding jokes, right? And I'm going to give these to you. And I want you to use them sparsely and in times where your team is really, really tense. So let's say you're in the 6th inning of a game. It's 1-1. You've got a hitter going up that's just done really poorly. And you can rate me on these jokes, by the way, I should say. And you can just go up to him. And this is the first one you can use in that situation. You can go, here, by the way, did I tell you I was married recently? And you go, aye, Rory, aye, aye, you did. And I went, aye, well, you know, we had the buffet at the night and we had 140 sausages. That's what we had, 140 guests, so we got 140 sausages. And I said to everyone, you can only have one rolling sausage and a wee can of Iron Brew because we've only ordered 140. And that was fine till I saw somebody sprinting up towards the table. He was going for seconds, so I had to throw him out. You threw him out going for seconds, what do you think?
I got you, man. Yeah,
got it. It's a baseball joke, Rory. So that'll ease the tension. Right,
It's an insight into a Glasgow wedding as well. Rolling sausage and a can of brew.
There you go.
A wee can of brew.
It's the fan size.
Was it the Wonka Experience wedding or something? Just
right, so the second one, same situation. Guy's going up to the plate. You need a base hit to win the game. You say to him, did I tell you I was married recently? And he goes, aye, aye, you told me, Rory. Go, aye, it was a nice day. We had hundreds of weddings at our wedding, but they just wouldn't go out. They wouldn't go out outside the venue, and the parents were getting pissed off because they wanted to get in a drink. So we got a magician, wouldn't go out. We got them a clown, they wouldn't go out. We got them a bouncy castle, and they wouldn't go out. So then I had a really good idea, and I said, let's do a scramble. And I got everybody to put in some coins. And I said, mon weddings, we're going out for a scramble. And they all came out. It was a long, arduous battle, but I finally got them out with a change. I laughed at that one, Rory. That's shite.
I just want to point out here for posterity, because people know how bad my puns are. These are all Danny's work.
Yeah, these are all mine, right? These are
Danny's not road tested these in any sort of spring training environment.
It was a little drink of water.
I like jokes that go on far longer than a joke should. Like the hanging comedy is called The Economy of Words. Make a joke as short as possible. I like to rip the arse out that.
You have the Yankees' only wedding-related pitcher in its history.
Right?
Buddy Groom.
Who?
Buddy Groom?
Yeah. That's a pretty cool name.
You did that's that entire research mate. About weddings and jokes and baseball, and you missed the groom.
Buddy Groom. That was a setter, wasn't it? Ah, fuck that. Oh well.
Use these jokes, Danny. I'll absolutely use these jokes. It'll give me something to do while I wait for Jason Stott to get in the box next time.
Fair enough. Takes a bit of time. Wait, Roberto to get on the mound. He's the same man. There's a wee bit of time to kill in Scottish baseball. Nah, that's cool, Rory. Cheers for that, man. It's a wee bit of daftness. Just where would people in Edinburgh that are interested in playing baseball in Edinburgh, where would they contact you guys?
If you're Edinburgh and you're interested in playing baseball, then you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Each of the teams has their own Instagrams, Twitter or X or whatever you want. Yeah. That's called, they all are on there. Edinburgh Baseball Club, but you can also search for Edinburgh Cannons, Edinburgh Diamond Devils, Edinburgh Knights, and I'll just move my mouth and you can fill in the name of the fourth team once we get it. As well, or on Facebook.
Rory's Rangers. It's getting edited and dubbed right now.
He's old. Yeah, sling us a message. All are welcome. Warriston playing fields in Edinburgh. Games on Sundays, trainings on Wednesdays and Fridays from 6 o'clock. We're a nice bunch of folk, despite what you might have heard.
Nah, I really appreciate you jumping on, Rory, and I'm looking forward to seeing you week three come this season. And if you're leading now that you've told me you've got an Achilles kneecap, I'm maybe going to be sliding at home plate a bit more, try and disadvantage your team a wee bit, but we'll see how it goes, man.
I'm the one wearing the armour, Danny. You can crack on.
So, man, Danny, the weakest player, and you want to take them out so we'll get replaced by a stronger player.
I'd never said Rory was the weakest player. Rory's hit a home run off me, so he's too strong.
Danny, I can hit a home run off you, and I can't even pick up a bat.
Fair enough. Ewan, you're kind of coming. This is one of your last episodes as well. You agreed to fill in for the pre-season, so just want to thank you for jumping along and contributing to the discussion. Have you enjoyed being on the podcast?
I think whatever the technical term for a designated hitter in a podcast, because this is a civil rated show. Yeah, it's been fun. We'll be around as always if needing catching. My voice will possibly still be heard in Scottish baseball as we move into broadcasting some of our games online, some of them live, some of them over replays when we get the website up and running. But you'll find the links on there for Facebook, as always, facebook.com/baseballscotland. And Facebook searching for all the teams in Edinburgh, Glasgow, Tipperary and Aberdeen as well. I'm interested to see who you get on next though, Danny.
Yeah, so am I. No, but I'll definitely, I'll have you on again, Ewan, obviously, man. So just want to thank you fellas again for joining in. We're going to be back here in Ballcaps and Bagpipes on the week of this 8th of April. So we're going to do a wee episode after the season kicks off, be able to recap some of this stuff. Rory, your first game of the season against the Devils, this is your time to throw some shade, and he's winning that first game.
Well, I mean, do I need to throw shade? Like,
it's all right, you said it. Like, Edinburgh Cannons walking away with the win, Glasgow Comets walking away for the win. That's what they're like. Cool, nice one. Right, enjoy your night, fellas. Cheers again, all right?
Night, Danny. Thanks, guys. Yes.